This morning, it is Father's Day, and so I'm going to talk a little bit about fathers, in part because I've got some experience there. I've been a father now for a couple years, and in part because I have a father, which is, you know, good to know. But there's several things about being a father, and one of those is, for some oddball reason, my children always expect me to always have the answer. I'm not sure why that is, but apparently they just expect me to know the answers. They also expect me to be able to open anything and everything. And sometimes they like to just come and sit on my lap. And that includes my 16-year-old, yes. Yes, I do. But as a father, you know, I enjoy most of that stuff. Most of the time. I like to play with my children. It's great fun when they decide that, yeah, they want to play a game with me. Or they want to do this with me, and so on and so forth. Though sometimes being a father can be rather tiring and I get a little irritable, but, you know, I'm only human, right? But also, the other part of this is that I'm also a son and I have a father. And there are times in my life when I'm sure that my father has not been particularly pleased with some of the things that I've done. We can go into some of those details, but I'd rather not right now. One of the things I want to think about, though, is if we go to the book of Proverbs, it's repeated multiple times. For example, in Proverbs 1:8, 4:1, and 6:20. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction. And this is important enough, Solomon made sure that it got repeated multiple times in the first several chapters. Listen, my son, to your father's instruction, because, you know, while my children, at the moment, mostly expect me to have pretty much all the answers, that's not always the case. And there have been times when my children are certain that they know better than I do. I remember arguing with one of my children in fifth grade that just because their teacher tried to tell them one way to do math wasn't necessarily the only way. Yes, I knew math. I taught math even then. And just big knock-down, drag-out argument about whether or not they're doing their math right. And no, they weren't. But listen, my son, to your father's instruction. It's important that we listen to our fathers. There have been many times my father has told me, this is the way things should be. And it's up to me to make sure this is the way that things are. And it's important for my children to listen to my instruction. And a good portion of this comes from the idea that fathers, in general, have their children's best interest at heart. I do want what's best for my children. That isn't always what's going to be easy on them. They're not going to always like the things that I tell them to do or the things that I have them do, because they'll do the things I tell them to do most of the time. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be pleasant and fun. But it's important that they listen and do. Proverbs 13:1 goes a little more detailed. A wise son heeds his father's instruction, but a mocker does not respond to rebukes. And we always hope for that wise son, because Proverbs 23:24 says, the father of a righteous child has great joy. A man who fathers a wise son rejoices in him. And certainly, I hope that my father rejoices in me. There are days I'm not so sure, because I know my life. But I also hope that my children will cause me to rejoice as time goes on. There are many times, dates, and places where my children have caused me to rejoice. But we hope that it continues to be so more and more. And this brings me to the next point. In the passage that I read this morning from Matthew, the third chapter, Jesus goes to John the Baptist to be baptized. John's initial response is, no, I need to be baptized by you, not the other way around. And Jesus says, let it be so now to fulfill all righteousness. And Jesus has this attitude to do the will of his Father. And this is why there in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, you have the voice from heaven saying, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And this isn't the last time God says this. He repeats this again when they're on the Mount of Transfiguration. Peter, John, and James, there on the Mount of Transfiguration, God repeats this phrase to them there. So they know from the beginning of his ministry until what is pretty much the conclusion, this is the Son of God, and with him, God was well pleased. Now, I have my son out here in the audience right now. And I'd like to be able to look at him and say, this is my son whom I love. With him I am well pleased. But he's not even looking at me right now. He's not even aware of what I'm saying. Think about that. And think about the difference there is between us as human children, and even I go this way as well sometimes, versus Jesus as the Son of God. My dad and I have a little bit of a running joke between us that whenever one of us speaks, the other one falls asleep. I'll be honest with you, I haven't fallen asleep in a couple of years during one of my dad's lessons, but I was known to do that quite often. And, you know, dad occasionally falls asleep during mine too. But it's okay, because we understand what's going on. And we're at the point where we have an idea of what the other one's going to be saying because we've heard each other so often. But that's still not the way that Jesus was. Jesus himself listened to his Father and did everything that his Father desired for him to do. This was so important that when you come to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. Jesus, while on earth, was such an exact representation of God that he could literally say to his disciples, "You know the Father." And when they said, "How?" he said, "You know me. That's all you need." Because he's the exact representation of his Father. It's one of those things where if you look at old pictures of my dad and you look at old pictures of me, it can be a little hard to tell which one's which. Not always, because dad's pictures are grainier. They're from an older time, just so you know. It's grainy, it's probably dad. But there's a lot of very similar characteristics. People look at me and they know who my father is. Jesus, you can look at him and you can know who his father is. And you can know about his father based off of the things that Jesus did, Jesus said, based off of who Jesus was. Just like you can know things about my father based off of things that I do. Just like you can know things about me based off of things that my son does. Our children represent us. Jesus represented God. Now, one of the interesting things about the section there that I read this morning, John the Baptist is talking to the Pharisees, the teachers of the law, and he says, "Don't say to yourselves, we are sons of Abraham, because I tell you that from these rocks, God could raise up children for Abraham." And then the very next thing that you have is the baptism of Jesus, where Jesus is declared the Son of God by God. And then the next thing you have is Jesus there in the wilderness being tempted by Satan. And Satan says, "If you are the Son of God." See, Satan knew, God knew, that the seed of Abraham, the son of Abraham, was come. The one through whom all nations would be blessed was there. But it's one of those interesting things that this is right after John just says, God can raise up children for Abraham from stones or from the Gentiles. For as Paul said, we are Abraham's children through faith. If we go to Galatians chapter 3, verses 26 through 28, Paul writes, "So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith, just like Abraham. For all of you who are baptized in Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. We are children of God, just like Jesus was. Well, okay, not just like. Jesus was the only begotten, the only born Son of God. But God has adopted each and every one of us to be part of His family. We are His family by His choice. And through faith, we become a part of that family. Faith in Jesus, being baptized in His name, so that now we have been clothed with Christ. We now are, to a certain extent, Christ. God looks at us and He sees His Son. That's why it's important that Paul threw in there. There is neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free, male nor female. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We are all the Son of God. And it's a great way to think about all of this being included in Jesus Christ Himself. We have been adopted. We have become a part of Him. He goes on a little bit more with that, and it's actually a chapter earlier, in Galatians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20, says, "For through the law I died to the law, so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me." When we were baptized, we died with Christ. And now as we live for Him. We live the life of Christ. It's an interesting thing to think about there. The life that I live isn't mine. It belongs to Jesus. And that is so important because if we look at 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3, John says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when Christ appears, we shall be like Him. For we shall see Him as He is. All who have this hope in Him purify themselves just as He is pure." This is why it's so important that we are united together in Christ, because we will be like Him. And He is currently the ruler of everything. Our current memory verse, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to Jesus." And we will be like Him. Because we died with Him. We live for Him. And how do we know that all of this will happen? Because we know God takes care of His children. If we go back to Isaiah chapter 63, verses 7 through 9, Isaiah writes, "I will tell of the kindness of the Lord, the deeds for which He is to be praised, according to all the Lord has done for us. Yes, the many good things He has done for Israel, according to His compassion and many kindnesses. He said, 'Surely they are my people, children who will be true to me.' And so He became their Savior. In all their distress, He too was distressed, and the angel of His presence saved them. In His love and mercy, He redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old." We can go back and we think of all the things that God did for the children of Israel. How He brought them out of the land of Egypt. How He did the 10 plagues so that they could be free. How He gave them a land flowing with milk and honey. How He gave them a king, David, who was a man after His own heart, so that they could be led by a shepherd. How He gave them the prophet so that they would know what His will was. How He did all of these things for them, constantly providing for them. But then we can take that and we can make it even bigger. Because what has He done for us? He became their Savior. That's exactly what He has done for us. He became our Savior. Jesus Christ died for our sins to cleanse us, to make us whole, to make us pure. So those of us who have hope in Him, let's purify ourselves so that we can be as pure as He is. As children of God, it's important that we do the things that are pleasing to our Father. This goes back there to the book of Proverbs. My son, listen to your father's instruction. God has been giving instructions to His children for a very long time. His will is not hidden from us. It's not unknown what He desires of us. It's written there in the pages of the Bible. It's why Jesus could say to His disciples, teach them to obey everything I have commanded you. All of the teachings are there. All the things that we need to do to be pleasing to our Father are there. As I try to live my life in a way that makes my Father happy and brings Him joy, so too we need to live our lives as the children of God to bring joy to our Father. And just as the final idea on that of what does it take to please God, we look at Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8. With what shall I come before the Lord and bow down before the exalted God? Shall I come before Him with burnt offerings, with calves a year old? Will the Lord be pleased with thousands of rams, with 10,000 rivers of oil? Shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression, the fruit of my body for the sin of my soul? Pause there for a second. These are all things that were required by the old law, and some of them are more extreme than what was required by the old law. Thousands of sacrifices, 10,000 rivers of oil, my tears, shall I offer my firstborn for my transgression? God had never asked for the firstborn, though He did require that the firstborns be redeemed. The firstborns belonged to Him because His firstborn was going to be given for the world. But these aren't the things that God really required of us. They're not really the things that He required of the Israelites. So there at the end, what does it say? He has shown you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. What God has always desired of His people was that they be like David, a man after God's own heart. Like my grandfather, a man who's willing to walk humbly with his God. Like my father, a man who's willing to devote himself to God. Hopefully like me, and hopefully someday, my son. This is what God requires of us. Not big, showy, flashy sacrifices, but that we live our lives to be pleasing to Him.